Scriptures again to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Let us pray. O Lord, our Savior, as your word comes to us today, keep us open and receptive to it. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit to be obedient to what we hear, that your purposes may be accomplished and your name glorified in all the earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Gabriel's announcement there sounds like the arrival of an unexpected blessing. One person has compared it to Ed McMahon showing up at your door with some representatives from Publishers Clearing House to let you know that you've won $1 million. Oh, it sounds like Mary's life has just taken a major turn, and her future looks very bright indeed. That's the impression that we might get. So why then is Mary greatly troubled, says Luke, by Gabriel's message? Isn't this out of the blue declaration of blessedness good news? Isn't this the moment when Mary should be going on social media to broadcast what's happened? Maybe to put up a selfie of her and Gabriel to let others know of this experience? And yet instead, Mary hesitates. She wonders what kind of greeting this might be, as Luke puts it. So as we let Gabriel's announcement sink in for us here today, I think we can begin to understand some of Mary's concern. After all, it's not easy being singled out by God for a particular purpose. The Bible includes the reluctant responses of many people who were picked by the Lord to play a major role in his purposes of redemption. Moses thought he wouldn't be able to come up with the right words to say to Pharaoh. Isaiah thought he was not good enough. Jeremiah thought He was too young. So it's true. Mary, in this case, doesn't counter God with excuses about why she's not qualified to be the one to do this particular job. But she also, you'll notice, doesn't just plunge right in without reflecting on the implications of saying yes to God's call in this situation and His plans. If she goes along with God's project, what will this mean for the direction of her life from here forward? What will it mean for her relationship with Joseph? How will others in the community view her going forward in all these situations? This is really all too much to process. And yet, we need to remember that Mary has been brought up in a religious home as a teenager, probably 14 to 16 at this point, somewhere in there. She's received lots of religious instruction in the faith. She's been formed by the rhythms and the traditions and the practices of God's people in their life together. She's learned a lot already about what it means to trust in the promises of God, the presence of God, the reliability of God's word. She may not have been expecting this specific angelic message that's come to her on this occasion, but she knows already the God who sent it. And that's crucial. She knows that she worships and serves a God who has shown favor toward His people. And now this God has shown particular favor toward her. I recently spotted a man with a bold announcement printed on the back of his shirt: God's favorite. Now, we were in a public restroom, so I thought this isn't the best place to try to get into theological discussions about whatever's going on there. But the wheels of interpretation immediately started turning in my head. Is this just sort of a humorous phrase that maybe folks in his family or among his friends would recognize? Is it just a general statement of blessedness in some way? Is it tied to a particular sense of calling or vocation that he feels in his life? God's favorite? Well, go back to our text today. Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Now, that doesn't mean that from then on Mary strolled around Nazareth wearing a t-shirt that said, God's favorite. She and the rest of God's people knew that God's favor, God's blessing, was unmerited. They weren't favored because they had worked harder than all other people at being righteous, or because they were somehow holier than all the other people on earth. Being favored simply meant that they had been the undeserving recipients of God's call, God's summons, a call that set them apart for a special purpose, but a purpose that was designed to bless the whole world, all peoples, all nations. That's at the heart of what blessing meant. It meant being consecrated by God for a particular purpose. That was God's favor. So today, many people, I think, including lots of believers, assume that those whom God, quote, favors, will experience the kinds of blessings that we equate actually with the good life. Things like social standing, material prosperity, good health, and maybe other things that you could add to that list. In other words, the blessed life in the minds of many is synonymous with the successful life. It's no wonder that use of the word blessing, or variations of it, as well as the blessed hashtag that shows up on a lot of social media, becomes so widespread. There's one writer who's put it, "It appears that no feat is off limits from the blessed label. People apply this humble sounding tag on social media to babies, selfies, their legs after a day at the gym, a dozen donuts, a wad of $20 bills, blessed." But at the same time, she admits, "Still on social media, I myself felt tempted to let the world know that I too travel, I too eat well, I too had a great workout this morning. No, God didn't pass me by when he poured out his blessings, but I can't shake the feeling that adding my own snapshot of some mundane pleasure and tagging it blessed would only serve to enlarge the pool of pictures that warp its meaning. So there is a word of caution in that about how we need to be careful with how we use the language of blessed or being blessed. It's certainly widespread in our lives as Christians, individually and collectively. Be blessed. God bless you. So blessed. Have a blessed day. We know the terminology and we use it a lot in the life of the church. Those words come quickly and easily to us often, especially in the life of the church. We speak them to others here in the life of God's family. We use them also beyond the life of God's family in our daily interactions sometimes with others in their lives. And it's important to note too how these words of blessing also fit well, you may have noticed, in the realm of religious merchandising too. All kinds of items and surfaces can display the term blessed. A wall hanging, a t-shirt, a mug, a pen, a tote bag, a piece of jewelry, and others that you might be able to add to it. You name it. And the word blessed can probably be imprinted on it for someone to sell and other people to see. That's part of the context that we're in right now. In fact, on our way to visit her cousin Elizabeth, maybe Mary could have swung by the local Walmart and picked up a blessed t-shirt so she could announce her visit from God and her upcoming pregnancy. But you'll notice that Elizabeth, in what happens as the story unfolds, Elizabeth doesn't need that kind of notification. As soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, the baby in Elizabeth's womb jumped for joy, we're told, and the Holy Spirit filled Elizabeth up with words of blessing. She started shouting to Mary, says Luke, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." And then, as if that's not enough, Elizabeth adds, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." So for Mary, the heart of being blessed or being favored is believing God's word. That's blessed, redefined. That's true. It's a blessing to be the physical mother of Jesus, but most of all, she trusts that what God has said will be fulfilled. This is what makes Mary blessed among women. It's her receptiveness to God's word. It's her confidence in the promises of God. This scene that's conveyed to us in today's text is often referred to as the Annunciation because it's basically Gabriel's announcement to Mary that she will bear the Son of God. It's one of the most frequent subjects, too, of Christian art. There are depictions of it that go back to early Christianity and then on across the centuries up into the present. I noted that on the cover of our current issue of the Upper Room, which some of you pick up here at church, there's a depiction artistically of the Annunciation from a contemporary artist who lives in France. Earlier this week, I came across a 1978 depiction of this scene by an artist named Theodore Prescott, and he uses a different kind of medium. He took red neon light and formed the outline of the angel Gabriel that flashes off and on as sort of a way to convey the otherworldly character of this visitor who comes to Mary. Mary herself, she's cast out of plaster in this piece of art. Contrasted with this very otherworldly visitor, she's a very earthly housewife. She's wearing a bandana. She's wearing shoal sandals. Some of you may remember those. She holds her hand over her breast as a gesture of surprise at getting this visit out of the blue like that. And on the table in front of her set two loaves of bread because of what she does in the household. Another depiction of during the Middle Ages, Some depictions of the Annunciation started to include the image of a dove, and this dove was flying toward Mary's ear. The dove symbolized the act of conception which took place in Mary's ear. In fact, centuries earlier, there was a bishop who had said, "Come and gaze upon this marvelous feat. The woman conceives through the hearing of her ears." So the emphasis there was on how this divine declaration, this word of God, entered Mary's life and accomplished what God had sent it to do. It was in the delivering and the receiving of the word of God that the Savior was conceived and began to take shape in Mary's body and Mary's life. So when we reflect on what makes Mary blessed, we above all need to remember her obedience to God's word. In fact, today's text isn't the only time in Luke's gospel where he stresses this theme of relying on and being obedient to what God is saying and doing. Later in chapter 11, after Jesus has driven a demon out of a man, there's a woman who calls out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." She was basically claiming that Jesus is so wonderful that he's a blessing, really, to his mother. And in that particular case, Jesus doesn't deny this blessing upon his mother, but he uses this opportunity. He seizes the moment to say something about the importance of the basis of blessing for all disciples when our Lord says, "Blessed rather," he sort of counters her, "blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." That's blessed. So true blessedness comes to those who hear the word of God and obey it. That's part of how I think Mary serves as a model for all disciples of Jesus, including us. There's a writer named Mark Galley who says, "It's not every day that one gets a cold call from a divine messenger. But we do get them from time to time, don't we? Those moments in a sermon or a conversation, during a quiet walk in the woods or in a prayer, someone taps us on the shoulder and says, 'Hey, you, yes, you, favored one, blessed one.'" It scares, he says, the heebie-jeebies out of us. Me? Favored? By God? You must have mistaken me for someone holy. Now, it's true. Mary holds a special place in the Christian faith and comes to the fore rightly in many ways this time of the year, but her unique role in the Christmas story and her prominence in the life of the church also underscore the way that she, like I said, is a model for all followers of Jesus, including us, in listening to and responding to the call of God in your life and in my life as God speaks to us. The God whose word is faithful, and we're called to be responsive and faithfulness to the word of God. This God who speaks to all of us in our lives. This God who summons each of us to a part in some way in the work of his kingdom and its purposes. The God who summons you in different ways, summons me in different ways, so that Christ can be formed in us and dwell in us. This God who blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. We don't have to think, "Well, I'm not holy enough to get a word from God like that." The call of God, the claim of God, can come upon all of us as he speaks to us. In whatever ways he's wanting you to serve and be part of his kingdom and labor for his reign in the world, whatever that looks like and whatever shape that may take, blessed to be a blessing to others. But also, I think we need to remember that, as with Mary, so with us. Having God show up and speak to you in some way, maybe not always dramatically or fantastically, but in ordinary daily ways or in the course of worship like this, having God show up and speak to you and make some kind of claim upon your life, is indeed a blessing. But if you go from what Mary's experience is like, it's a strange blessing, and often a costly blessing. A blessing that requires you to stay open to the Word of God, be responsive to the Word of God, even when it's unsettling or disruptive to some plans or purposes that you've got in mind and have already laid out, or whatever direction you may already see. So the Word of God in this way can be disruptive to us, and yes, a blessing, but a strange kind of blessing, costly blessing to us if we're really going to follow Jesus in the world. Remember that we live in a sort of hashtag blessed culture that's around us in all sorts of different ways, but in that kind of culture, we need someone like Mary, who embodies a definition of blessedness that we need, a blessedness that's not primarily about health or wealth or social standing or success, but blessedness that's about receptiveness to the voice of God and reliance upon His promises, a different kind of blessedness, a blessedness that's responsive to God's Word, that's obedient to His direction for our lives, obedient to His will for our lives. How does the whole text end with Mary's response? May it be to me according to Your Word. May it be to me, O Lord, according to Your Word and what You said and delivered. May it be to me, O Lord, according to Your Word. That's true blessedness, what it means to be blessed. Let's pray. O God of blessing, thank You for Your claim upon our lives through Jesus Christ, for Your call that comes into our lives in various ways, the ways that You speak to us. Keep us open and receptive to Your Word. And when Your voice comes and calls us to things that we feel like we're not holy enough for, or qualified for, or prepared for, help us to remember Your faithfulness, Your promises, Your unfailing love, and keep us responsive to Your Word so that we can say yes to whatever You're wanting us to be and do in our lives, individually and in our life together as a church. In a culture where we often get easily off track, Lord, about what it means to be blessed, help us to truly reflect blessedness in the world by hearing and believing, being obedient to Your Word in our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we sing today's